Today, my dear faithful, is the second Sunday after Easter. And the epistle for today's Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile. When he suffered, he threatened not, but delivered himself to him that judged him unjustly, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to justice, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but you are now converted to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But the hireling and he that is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and flieth. And the wolf catcheth and scattereth the sheep. And the hireling flieth, because he is a hireling, and he hath no care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. As the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. As the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear faithful, the country of Korea is very familiar to you and me. In fact, it very often reaches headline news. But in the mid-19th century, it was just another small, very obscure country in Asia. Only to someone like Bishop Imbert was it more than a name on a map. You see, Bishop Imbert was a missionary bishop from France, and Korea was his diocese. There is one great similarity between Korea of the present and Korea of 1839, that is, Bishop Imbert's day. Korea is a dangerous place to live. The weather is extreme there. The winters are bitter cold and the summers are burning hot. Much of the country is mountainous, and that makes traveling difficult and dangerous. Because wild animals, especially tigers, as well as bandits, make their lair in the mountains. It is also true that disease has always been rampant in Asia. Fevers that can take a life in a matter of days, leprosy, and many others were common in Asia. Another hazard for Bishop Imbert was that the government was hostile to foreigners. To get into Korea in the first place, Bishop Imbert had to crawl over a frozen river in midwinter, all while the guards were only a short distance away. Then, throughout his time in the country, Bishop Imbert always had to walk in an elaborate disguise. A European generally stands out in Asia. This was necessary to avoid capture and possible exile, for the government forbade any foreigners from being in the country. Furthermore, aside from all the dangers, Korea was a very difficult mission due to the dire poverty of the Korean people. Because it is so mountainous, the soil produces little, and what it does produce is mostly rice. The Korean people survived on a bare minimum of rice, and that left very little for them to provide support for the missionaries. But the bishop and his few priests accepted all of these hardships for the love of Christ and of souls. Now, soon after Bishop Imbert's entrance into Korea, a new minister of government came into power. This man despised Christianity and made even greater efforts to keep out foreigners, threatening them with death if captured, most especially Catholic missionaries. And yet, despite this and many other difficulties of their apostolate, in his first year there, the bishop saw over 100 people baptized who never knew the faith, and another 600 preparing to receive this sacrament. Sadly, though, the persecutors eventually did capture this zealous bishop. They questioned him in order to gain a more solid accusation against him. "Why did you come here?" they asked. "To save souls," was the bishop's ready reply. "Renounce your God," his persecutors demanded. With holy indignation, Bishop Imbert cried out, "Never will I renounce my God." Upon hearing this, the Korean magistrate ordered the bishop to be beaten and cast into prison. This process of questioning, then physical abuse, was repeated over and over. However, the Korean officials still hesitated to put the missionaries to death. They feared a backlash from the far more powerful nations of Europe. And so this torture continued. On one particular day, the bishop and the two priests captured with him were brought before a full tribunal. To the missionaries' surprise, the magistrates simply said to them, "Return to your country." The intrepid bishop stepped forward and answered, "In leaving our country, we made the sacrifice of our lives. We have come ready for the purpose of saving souls and are ready to die for that cause." The missionaries were then tortured again and sent back to prison. Finally, the Korean officials, after much debate, were still wishing to be rid of them, and so they condemned the three saintly missionaries to death. They were beheaded on September 21st, 1839. And 18 years later, Bishop Imbert and his two priests were declared blessed by Pope Pius IX. Now, my dear faithful, I tell you the story of Bishop Imbert and his priest because they followed the example of our Lord, the Good Shepherd. This holy bishop ignored the dangers to his own life, dangers from animals, bandits, and government officials. He ignored all of these in order to save his people from spiritual death. And when he was offered exile, Bishop Imbert demanded death, "Because I have come ready for the purpose of saving souls, and am ready to die for this cause." It was as if he said, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep." Just as our Lord laid down his life for his sheep, these martyrs willingly laid down their life for their flock. The office of shepherd of souls was their glory, just as our Lord glories in being the good shepherd. Now, one of the reasons our Lord used the idea of a shepherd to describe his own life and mission to the Jews was that shepherds were common in their day, and so the Jews readily understood what Christ meant. However, shepherds are rather rare today, so it takes some explanation to really understand who they were, what they did, and why the name Good Shepherd is so fitting for our Lord. A shepherd was a person who watched, herded, and guarded a flock of sheep. They spent most of their time alone in the solitude of mountains and prairies, watching over a herd of little creatures that could neither speak nor understand. Shepherds watched over their flock in both the burning heat of the summer day as well as the freezing cold of the winter night, just as the shepherds on that first Christmas night. They made sure each sheep ate, drank, and was all around healthy. They fought off the predators, the lions, the wolves, as well as thieves. Against all of these, the good shepherd, the one that really loved his flock, would be ready to lay down his life for them. And thus, throughout his life on earth, our Lord was truly the good shepherd. In his incarnation, he left heaven and the choirs of angels for our little earth to be alone with man. He took upon himself our sufferings, the heat of the day, the cold of the night, the pains and sorrows of the life of fallen man, except, of course, for sin. In his public life, he was again the good shepherd, as he hastened after poor sinners over mountain and valley, through thorns and thickets, as it were. He gently carried them back, healed them by his grace, led them to the good pastures by his teaching and example, and nourished them with his own flesh and blood. Then, in his passion, he laid down his life, that his sheep might still live. Finally, in his resurrection, he gathered his sheep together, comforted them, gave them the Holy Ghost, and opened the doors to eternal life. Jesus Christ was at all times and in all places the Good Shepherd. And so he is now. He watches over us, guides us, and guards us. But how are we really like sheep? Just as sheep are lowly animals compared to the shepherd, so we are such lowly creatures compared to our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. In fact, in this comparison between ourselves and God, we are even lower than a sheep is compared to man. No matter how good or holy a man may be, he is almost nothing in comparison with the infinite God. God is infinite good, infinite sanctity, power, and magnificence. The distance between God and man will always be infinite. And yet, this great God created man, became man, and died for man. Jesus Christ foresaw the death he faced, and he gladly accepted it. In this way, he drew to man to be their good shepherd, their guardian, their friend. How much safer then are his sheep if they strive to remain with him? We of the flock of God draw near to him, especially by our prayer. As St. Teresa of Avila tells us, prayer is a familiar conversation with God. When we pray, we turn our minds and hearts to God, speaking to him. And the infinite God turns to us and listens to us. As the good shepherd who has sacrificed so much for us, he is so pleased when we go to him. The Sacred Heart rejoices to find a soul that will draw near to him. And he will always and every time welcome that soul, and he will pour his graces upon them. Let us then, my dear faithful, turn to our Lord and pray to him. Let us, as the sheep of his flock, put our trust in our good shepherd and ask him for his help. When you begin your day, do not forget to turn to the God who watches over you and pray for his protection. Ask him to be your good shepherd, your guardian, your friend. Turn to him in every difficulty that you experience throughout your day. He will enlighten you with his grace and guide you through. Turn to him when you do not feel strong enough to face the challenges of life. Then he will pick you up by his grace and carry you through on his shoulder. You can be sure that he will always help you, if only you do not turn away from him. Follow the good shepherd, my dear faithful, who has proven his love for you in so many ways. Be a faithful sheep of his flock. Draw near to him by your prayers and your practice of virtue, and you can be sure he will be drawing near to you. He will listen to every word of your prayers. He will count every act of virtue, and he will reward all that you do for him in this life and in eternity. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.